Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everyone. We are recording straight after a Peterborough United win. And doesn't it feel good to say that? Posh have just beaten Wigan 1-0. It certainly wasn't a thriller. So we're going to do our best to analyse the game, although it is a slightly difficult one to analyse because it doesn't feel like too much happened tonight. But we'll do our best to go through it, pick out some talking points as ever. I'm going to start with Charlie, who was at London Road. Talk us through the game and your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was important to get a win on the board. It's been quite a while. And I thought, listen, Fergie asked for desire after the Lincoln game. He asked to see a team that would work hard and look like they wanted to win. And we looked that way this evening. I thought we were, you know, first to every ball. We won a lot of second balls. We were pressing hard. It wasn't the most quality full performance, but what we lacked in quality, we made up for in effort and passion. And, you know, I thought the defenders played exceptionally well, especially the fullbacks, Eden and Carl Johnston. They got proper stuck in, which you know, you like to see. So, yeah, it was great. I'm very happy to get a win on the board. I think we'll be fine this season. And I think nights like tonight, if we can just have a couple more of them, we will be absolutely fine and we don't have anything to worry about in terms of relegation.
Yeah, do you know what? I still feel a little bit like meh. And today was definitely one of those days. Like, it wasn't exciting, was it? It was just very much back to basics, like it was against Orient and Exeter, except this time we managed to take 3 points home. I'm not sure that standard of performance beats many other teams in the division. I think that Wigan ultimately are very poor and have shown that tonight. They weren't great when they beat us 3-0. They just sort of managed to just sort of do us over. We were really bad that night. And I think that tonight has sort of echoed that. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself. And I also don't want to be too negative tonight because, look, they've finally done what we've asked, and that's just to win a game and keep a clean sheet. And those two things have finally come together. So, you know, I came on here on Saturday when we recorded last and lost my head. Well done to those that played today. You've finally shown a little bit of conviction in your performance.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the win. I think most people will be. 3 points is huge in the position that we're in. And I completely agree with Ash that the performance probably wasn't as thrilling or enthralling as we'd hoped it'd be. But it's still a performance, nonetheless, that has managed to get us 3 points, which is the big thing. And it's 3 points that we desperately need, especially looking to Sunday, which we'll go over later on. But it's a massive game at the bottom of the table. And a win today gives us momentum going forward. Bearing in mind, I don't think we've won an away game since September or August. So look, it's needed, I think, in terms of that sort of run of form, in terms of the 3 points. And regardless of what you think of the performance, we've kept a clean sheet and we've scored a goal. So I think ultimately there's not really much more I'm going to do in terms of complaining. I thought, a good performance, well-drilled performance all round.
Yeah, I think we're all sort of in the same boat here where none of us are really singing from the rafters about this, but we just needed a win and we got a win. It's really not pretty at the minute. And I can't, to be honest, I've just sit here thinking I cannot wait for this season to be over because for me, watching my team play has been so enjoyable, certainly for the last 24 months or since Fergie came back, really. It's been great and it's been a really good ride. And even the start of this season, at the very start, for the large part of it, I did enjoy watching Peterborough play football. I have to say, I'm not really enjoying it at the minute. I haven't enjoyed the last 3 home games where we've obviously gone unbeaten. I'm not finding it thrilling to watch. However, we are picking up enough points that if we keep going at this rate, I think we will be fine. Look, we've got 5 points from our last three home games, and if you do that till the end of the season, we'll be okay. I am a little concerned, I guess, still, that we're really not showing any quality, very little quality in these matches. And you do worry that that's one of the easier home games we've got left and probably one of the easier fixtures we've got left. And if we continue to play to that level, I'm not convinced, like Ash said, that we're going to pick up a huge amount of wins. However, you're probably looking at, what, maybe four more wins that are needed to keep us up, maybe five at a push. Is it going to be enough? I think we're crawling towards the line, aren't we? And every win is just a step towards that line. But I am certainly not enjoying the race. If I want to pick out some performers, I think you look at the three new signings and Hughes, Eden, Johnston. Today was a game, when we play football like this, and it is, for want of a better term, trenches ball, because we are in the trenches. It is back to basics, get rid of it, pump it down the pitch and let Lindgren or Ricky J. Jones chase after it. It's pretty simple. They do everything you want in that sense. They're aggressive, they're front-footed, they don't offer you a great amount in possession, but they are... I want to say they're what we needed. I do say with a little bit of caution just about the quality in possession. And I do wonder when the fixtures get harder, if things will start to look a bit bleak again. But for this period, I think they've clearly made us a more resolute team and a team that's harder to beat. And for that, all three of them deserve some props, because they are defending like they care about Peterborough, even though two of them are only here on what, loan or a very short-term contract. So, fair play, they've made an impact. I really hope it's the foundation and we start seeing a little bit of confidence come back to the team and we start seeing a little bit more quality on the ball from now.
Do you know what? Yeah, John, I do agree completely. And that was the one thing that I looked at when I looked at the table after the game today. And we're on 30 points now and sort of the mood switch. It does feel really different being on 30 points. We've discussed, haven't we, between us all, what do we think is a safe number? I'd love to get to 50. I think 50 is just sort of guarantee safety, doesn't it? And knowing that you're at 30 and you only need 20 more now, it feels so much better. And I think that that's definitely the positive thing to take from tonight, is if we'd have gone into the weekend still on 27 or 28, I'd have probably been concerned and it would have started to feel more desperate. But yeah, I think absolutely. Like it doesn't feel as desperate now. I said on the way as we were walking out, though, I think that today's win doesn't actually mean anything if we don't then go and get another 3 points on Sunday for sure.
I thought that if I'm going to be positive about what was a pretty turgid game, it's going to be the fact that as a unit, we did defend pretty well. We made Wigan look absolutely gash for pretty much that entire game. And we shouldn't underestimate that a lot of that was to do with the players not overcommitting like they did against Lincoln, or not committing enough like they did against Lincoln, depending on who the player is you're talking about. I was grateful to see a bit of calmness on the whole. I think there was clearly many, many things to work on. And yet it feels like something to build on rather than a absolute write-off like Lincoln was. And it's going to be, obviously, because we've won. But it was still a pretty difficult watch, just like every other game, or almost every other game this season has been since Poku was injured. And I think they should still get their heads up about it. And who knows, with a win like that under your belt, which was a trenches one, then hopefully we can have one that's a bit more, as Ash says, a bit nicer on Sunday.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, Harry. I think, you know, if we're going to take any positive from this sort of stretch of games, is that we've still got to play Crawley, we've still got to play Shrewsbury, we've still got to play Northampton, we've still got to play Cambridge, we play Bristol on Sunday. So we play everybody below us at least once, which is good. Obviously, we're not playing Burton again. The less spoken about Burton, the better. But we've still got to play a lot of the big sort of relegation contenders. We've still got to go to Rotherham, things like that. So I'm not too down and out. I think as sort of John's been saying, you know, we're slowly crawling towards that line. Say with Ashley, you know, 50 points being the mark is always good because it does guarantee safety. I think in terms of the attack, which is sort of where I want to lead off of, losing your best attacking player is never very good. And there seems to be a lack of attacking fluidity that we have lacked since since Poku got injured. So if we can build if we can play trenches ball, as we've labelled it, if we can play trenches ball until he comes back and we get this attacking outlet back, and hopefully he can pick up his form where he left off, it might take him a few games, but this attack and the attacking fluidity that we had will come back. I've got no doubt about that. You know, you saw when he left, it was like a massive gaping hole, and we thought Kean Hayes would probably fix it, but I don't think he has done. I think he has been, you know, sort of very good in instances, but no Kwame Poku. So to get him back, and it's not, I don't think it's overly long now. He must have been out since late November. And Darren Ferguson said 3 months, I think. So end of February, early March, hopefully we might hear something about him. But that gives us a good, you know, month and a half with him, 2 months with him, 3 months even probably to sort of get this attack back, you know, rolling. Because with him, we beat Cambridge earlier in the season 6-1, we beat Blackpool 5-1, and that was with him sort of being as good as he is. So if we can build a baseline of this sort of defence, then I'm going to be really, really happy with our performances, hopefully towards the end of the season, and getting over the line is something that I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Max. I think we will return to being quality up front, but actually it's the defence that I think deserves the plaudits after today and after the recent weeks, excluding the Lincoln game as well. Sam Hughes was obviously entrusted with the captaincy today, and I thought it was an outstanding performance from him. I don't remember him losing a header. I think he mopped up very well, and especially because he was paired with George Nevitt as well. He was having to do quite a lot of cover work for Nevitt, who went walkies a couple of times, and he did it very well. He marshalled the back line, I think is the best way to say it, with the armband. It looked like a partnership that worked, the Hughes and Nevitt one. Obviously, you've got the nice balance with obviously right footer and left footer, but you've also got the nice balance in terms of a bit like sort of Josh Knight and Ronnie, in terms of one was a little bit more cultured and then the other a bit more sort of hard hitting and tackling. Obviously, I'm not saying that they're anywhere near that level, but it's a similar sort of partnership. I was really impressed with them as a centre back partnership, and I think it's one that I'd like to see tried out in the future.
Yeah, what I found interesting was it was a little bit more direct on the whole, but also Hughes did still try and pass pretty regularly. It actually didn't always work, right? Like, he tried to spray it out to Johnston a couple of times and either hospital passed him or it just wasn't the right progressive ball. That being said, very little of that went into my judgment of his performance, because I think the expectations with him are that he is here to stop the goals going in primarily. And if he can do that, I think we can all forgive him the odd mistake, because he's not been brought in to be a ball-playing defender. Nevitt has, but Nevitt is young, and Nevitt will make mistakes, unfortunately, like the one he did in the first half where he passed it directly to their players in our third, in the middle of the pitch. And thank goodness Wigan was so poor tonight that they couldn't capitalise on it. I'm in support of them as a partnership. Equally, I think there's still a route back for Manny into the starting lineup at some point, because if there is a rock in Hughes defensively, there is then that space for someone who is a bit more of a ball-playing defender. And you know what? Manny, actually, bizarrely, he is that when he's at his best. So they're both still young. Nevitt and Manny are both still young. Hughes is a good person to be alongside them. And yeah, just echoing what you said there, Charlie, on them.
Another one to vouch for Sam Hughes' display, I thought, for a guy wearing a captain's armband already. It's a bit embarrassing for Hector Kyprianou for that to happen, I think, or for the entire squad, really, for a lone player to get it within, 3 weeks of being here. it's a pretty sad indictment of what's come before him, but I thought he guided Nevitt through the game really well. And I thought Nevitt looked a better player for it too. Nevitt had struggled away at Wigan, really struggled. Two of the goals were probably on Nevitt. Got through it really comfortably. And we should give them credit. You know, they limited Wigan, as bad as Wigan were, to having no shots on target. We haven't done that all season. Fair play. That they did everything. If the team doesn't have a shot on target, we're never going to lose a game. So well done for that. But I do think we need to talk about the attack, which... Chaz, I remember you bringing up on a former podcast that you blame the attack almost as much as the defence for this season or something along those lines. I do think their form collectively has dropped off. I think part of that is clearly because of the system change, and it's very, very difficult for them to sort of thrive in the way that we're playing now, certainly like they were at the start of the season, because they're just not getting ball at feet anywhere near as much as they were. However, I think it's probably time for a discussion around Con Clarke in particular, because he's now had his run of games and I'm yet to really see that much from him, if I'm honest. I thought tonight, we talk about flashes. Tonight, I didn't really even see flashes. I don't know if that's a little bit harsh. I thought he was okay. He had that one long range shot towards the end, which was quite impressive. But other than that, I don't know that he did a huge amount. And I am wanting to see a little bit more from someone that he feels like he could be quite a talismanic presence. I don't know. It just, the way he carries himself, the way he looks, sometimes we see streaks of real ability in him. But it feels like I'm waiting for him to step up and he's not necessarily doing it. I'm keen to hear how other people thought of Con Clarke's display. So, Charlie, did you want to offer your thoughts on his performance?
Yeah, I didn't think it was very good. I think in the dopamine of actually having a win, I gave him a 7 in the post-match ratings. I'd probably adjust that now, maybe down to a 6. I mean, I don't think there was many things he did that impacted the team negatively. I mean, there was one time where he had the ball in the corner and then just absolutely sprayed it back to the halfway line to Archie Collins and put us under the cosh a bit, which was a bit nerve-wracking. I think his set-piece delivery was a bit disappointing all game. Corners and that free kick that he had in a very good position in the first half. I mean, he's shown flashes throughout his entire Posh career. He's shown flashes. You know, there was one time where he sort of picked up the ball on the half turn and it looked like he was maybe going to lay it off and he absolutely swung it at the top left and forced Sam Tickle into quite a good save. That was a good moment in the game. But I might be wrong, but when I watch him play, he just doesn't quite look fully fit yet. He doesn't look like he is ready to go. He doesn't look like he could uphold just running all game. And when you look at a player like what we had in that position 4, which was Joel Randall, who is very much a running 10, a number 10 who could run for pretty much an entire game, Chris Con Clarke is not that kind of player. I know we've signed him to sort of be more of a maverick, sort of a Lee Tomlin type, I think is what Fergie said in his interview. But I still think that we need to see more from him. But unfortunately, and maybe we need to go into the January transfer window, because unfortunately, we don't have any other options in that position. You know, Fergie spoke today about how Ryan de Havilland, he thought it was a disappointing performance on Saturday and that he doesn't like having Ryan de Havilland in the 10. He likes someone a bit closer to the striker. So I actually don't know what we do at this point. Chris Con Clarke, he doesn't look fit, but who else can play there? It's a bit, we're quite unfortunately devoid of options up front.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I was literally about to just speak about probably Joel Randall before you jumped in there. We did have that sort of experience, number 10. We desperately need to go into the January transfer window while it's still open. And look, I think Fergie did say that we were looking for an attacker. I don't know if we're going to get one in, but I think he has mentioned we are looking at some. But I don't think Chris Con Clarke's had a great performance in a Peterborough United shirt yet. There hasn't been a game where I've watched him, even before he's injured his arm. And I've gone like, wow, yeah, this player's got a bit about him. I haven't had that reaction yet. I think the step up from non-league to League One's huge, obviously. But he needed that time to adjust. Perhaps even a loan to League Two is what he needed, but we didn't have the depth to offer him that. And I do feel really bad for him. Same with a lot of the players that have played there this season that you know, George Nevitt probably could have done with a loan to League Two. You know, those sorts of players that probably could have done with playing a season in the division lower to help their development. Our depth has been so poor that we haven't been able to offer that. And that's a big thing that Con Clark, I think, is struggling. Whereas, you know, before we could play Joel Randle and he'd play the vast majority of the game and Chris Con Clark could come on and get his 10 minutes. Or we could even play De Havilland for 10 minutes, for example, to sort of, you know, to get the game over and done with if Randle was tired. Now we're relying on a player who spent his whole career in non-league to perform at a League One level and to get an attack flowing. It's just never going to happen. So we need an experienced number 10. I think our wingers are fine. Our strikers fine. The two centre mids behind them are really, really good, especially with Susahoe and Collins. Even, you know, Kipriano is still a very good player, although he hasn't been playing to that standard yet. But that number 10 position is our weakness at the moment. And Chris Con Clark being there, unfortunately, is probably one of the weakest bits of the team at the moment. And that's not to say that he's not going to become a good player. And I'm not trying to sound harsh, because he's come from non-league to League One and is expected to perform, and that's probably never going to happen. But we just need that sort of number 10 that's going to tick our attack over and set us on the go and use that pace on the counter. And that's not something that Chris Con Clark has done successfully yet at his time at the club.
I don't want to overdo it on Chris Con Clark. I still have high hopes for him, and I think he needs to be a bit more expressive. Just, he needs to get the ball passed forward quicker and see where he's going to be passing before he receives it. I think he plays at the minute as though he hasn't slowed down the game in his mind enough yet at this level to be able to make the decisions that he needs to at the pace he needs to. So he ends up over-dribbling it on occasions. Anyway, I'll leave it on Chris Con Clark. Both of you already mentioned him. I'd say with Lindgren, who I want to bring up, he... Funnily enough, despite being bottled up today, I didn't go tonight. I watched on the Sky Sports app, and I was able to see him in shot for quite a lot of it. His positioning is great. Like, he is disciplined, and I think that particularly told when he managed to intercept them, once again, having done it at Lincoln, intercept one of their balls in their own third. Unfortunately, he passed it too quickly and it got intercepted right back. But the intelligence is there with him. And what we haven't got is any line-breaking runs from him yet. Maybe he doesn't think he's got that in him yet. Like, he doesn't want to try and risk that. And maybe he's trying to essentially play with his body facing towards us rather than towards goal so that he can receive it and pass on. But in a game in which I don't think he had a shot, I'm still feeling good. On Lindgren personally.
Yeah, I think you're right. And sort of when, obviously, you probably won't get the feel when you're not in the ground, but it does always feel like the options there, especially sort of from the left-hand side, the channel is open. So I think that obviously he's still progressing. He's still working on his game. He's still understanding his teammates. We know from the start of the season that this isn't something that just happens overnight. Like you say, it is disappointing he's not getting the chances, but I think that sort of summed up today's performance as a whole anyway, is that we didn't create a lot, Wigan didn't create a lot, and it was just very much in the middle of the pitch game. I think that when we get back to hopefully our best flowing attacking football, that Lindgren will hopefully put the ball in the back of the net when he's got the chances, because he does look like somebody that knows where the back of the net is from what we've seen, especially in that Walsall game. He did that well. So yeah, I don't think there's anything to be disappointed as such, just because that's just the way that we're playing football at the moment.
I think I largely agree with you on Lindgren. For me, we're seeing a lot of his off the ball work more than his on the ball work at the minute. I would have loved to have seen Lindgren in last season's team, actually, where we were creating all those chances per game, and just to see how he got on, because he does look lively in the box. His movement is sharp. His pressing is very good. I enjoy watching him. He certainly runs around and he gets the hurly-burly of English football. But I think it's very difficult. I almost feel like we could have Erling Haaland up front at the minute, and even he would struggle with the amount of service that they get. And it's very much a thankless task for that striker at the minute. It's running around, chasing long balls. It's pressing defenders. You're almost becoming that 11th defender on the team, I think. And certainly there's a lot of focus being put on the defensive side of the game rather than the attacking side of the game. I think what I'd like to talk about as well is Odo. I think it's important that we mention him. Given a chance again tonight, not sure again that he grasped it with both hands, if I'm being honest with you. I thought towards the end, at the last sort of 10 minutes, it was his best spell of the match, where he set up that chance for Ricky, which Ricky should have done better with. He laid off a decent pass towards Con Clark, where Con Clark had the long shot. Other than that, I thought it was another Odo performance. Didn't really think too much to it. And for me, there remains a debate for me about whether you play Mothersill, who I think is inconsistent but does have flashes of brilliance and does score. And I only see one answer to that, really, is that Mothersill probably should come back in. I'm sure we're going to talk about Bristol a little bit too. But yeah, I just didn't think much to Odo. I'm waiting to see Odo grab that shirt, to run at a man, to just do something that's eye-catching. Because he did have the capabilities. He showed it when he set up that chance for Ricky. But you want to see him do that consistently. And it's almost like he plays in second gear all the time. And I don't know whether it's a confidence issue or a quality issue at this point. But if he doesn't start stepping up, I just don't really see what he's offering this team.
I don't know. You say that he isn't running at people. I think he did. Unfortunately, he just overran it. Like, he megged one of their defenders, but then obviously went into the next one. He's simultaneously close and far. It's very difficult to describe where he's at and whether he could go on and be a good League One winger for us. But in his defence, he is trying things, I would say, John. And that was obviously much more clear. We had more space in the last 10 minutes.
So basically what we've got is a footballer that is only good when he's got nobody around him. Is what we're saying. And the one good thing that he did in the game was run at about 50% speed, and the two cart horse Wigan defenders managed to catch up with him. Look, I'm not going to defend Ricky. He should have scored the goal. But when we were breaking 3-on-2 and Otto's practically walking up the pitch, and then Ricky, you can see him. We've seen the replay already. He's like strolling. Like, what happened to a fast Peterborough United break? I really don't think that Otto is any good, and I think that he'll be somebody that we try to move on relatively quickly, especially if we can find a decent replacement for him, because I just don't see that he's ever going to set the world alight. I know that Mason Clark and Poku grew into the game, but they at least showed something in flashes even when they weren't super consistent. But I've just seen absolutely nothing from Otto, and tonight was another one of those. We can't wait 85 minutes for somebody to do something decent in the game, and he can't even make a simple 2-yard pass from a throw-in. Basics.
Well, let's move on to Bristol. We might as well talk team changes straight away and get straight into it. We've obviously got Bristol Rovers on Sunday, another relatively big game down the bottom of the table. Bristol Rovers are slightly behind us in the league. A win would be massive, really. If we get two wins on the bounce, you start thinking, okay, maybe we can push up towards mid-table. It would change the mood a lot, I think. We'll talk about team changes straight away. Ash, who do you fancy coming in?
I think that I'd probably be chucking Hayes back in. I know that he wasn't fantastic tonight, but I think Hayes for Otto is probably the switch. And then realistically, is there probably a need to change anybody else? I'm not so sure that there is. So it's only the one change. I think that Hayes has obviously had a little dip in form recently, but that sort of has coincided with being switched over to play left wing back, and then is being chucked into the right wing again at times in games. So I think just the one change, put Hayes in for Otto, keep Ricky out on the left, because he did show some flashes of moments, and he also does offer that long throw threat when we progress ourselves up the pitch.
Yeah, completely agree. I'm going unchanged, apart from Malik Tewodo. So only the one change for me, but the rest of the 11 stays. Well, the rest of the 10 of the players stay as it is. I think if we objectively look at it, we have to have one of, if not the worst, away form in the league. It's got to be like so close. I don't know if a stat checker can pull me up on that, but it's got to be really close. We haven't won since August, as I said earlier on. But the feeling for me is if we can win away at Bristol, which is going to be a huge game for us because both teams, Bristol and Peterborough at the moment, are quite, you know, really poor. So if we're looking at an away performance and away win, you know, we're not going to get another opportunity like this for a while to secure 3 points. It almost feels like a factory reset for me. If we can win at Bristol Rovers, we've won at home here, we've got 2 wins. It sort of builds that momentum. Obviously, we've got to go there and win. This is not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. But look, we've got to get on with it. We've got to go there and we've got to do, you know, some sort of, we've got to perform. We've got to do what we've done today. It might be trenches ball. It might be poor. It might be really difficult, but we need to go there. We need to put on a display like that. Solid, well-drilled, and hopefully we can get 3 points. And to me, that almost feels like we're going to get this done and we're going to be all right sort of game, rather than coming back on next week and going back to complaining again because we've bottled another massive opportunity to get 3 points.
Just quickly, I was at Bristol Rovers last year, as some of us were. It's where me and Ashley met. And Malik Mothersill had one of his best games in a posh top on that left wing. And he set up, if I remember rightly, Joel Randall for a goal. I personally think he should come back in. Like, Odo didn't do enough today. No disrespect to him. Mothersill hasn't been in great form. But to go back to a ground that he did well at, I think he's worth giving another shot.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think it really matters who we play. As long as they're actually a footballer, I think they'll be good enough to beat Bristol Rovers because they are awful. I mean, Bristol Rovers, I still stand by that they're the worst team we've seen at London Road this season. We played atrociously with like some weird 3-5-2. Or that was when Fergie lost his mind earlier in the season. And we were 3-0 up and cruising. And they had a little bit of a comeback, but they were abysmal. They've been abysmal ever since. I actually had a little scroll through Bristol Rovers Twitter this evening after their 2-0 loss to Charlton, and I can tell you that if we think posh Twitter is toxic, go over there. Their new Spanish young manager is realizing very quickly that he's you know, not Rayo Vallecano or something like that. He is very firmly in the trenches. I do genuinely believe with my whole heart that Bristol Rovers will go down this season. And I think that all we have to do is go in and put in a baseline average performance and we'll beat them. It's really not a difficult game. I think it's one of those that it will be some serious head loss from me if we lose. And I know this is getting massively clipped up. If we do lose, it's going to be Wrexham all over again. But listen, I'm happy to go out there and say that this is probably our easiest away game of the season.
Yeah, do you know what? Crazy that you mentioned Wrexham. It would be rude not to discuss them after their embarrassment of losing and dropping 6 points to Stevenage across this season, wouldn't it? Probably, you say that Bristol Rovers are bad. Stevenage aren't much better, and they've managed to get sod all from them all season. So, yeah. What a disappointing evening for Wrexham, for them to have lost that fantastic record that they have at home.
I mean, lads, can I just say, we're 18th. We got a point off Burton Albion all season as well, Ash. So, I mean, I like the confidence. I really do admire it. But I need to remind you, we're also not very good this season. Please, just remember that. We're not great this year. We might have won tonight, and I feel like the confidence levels are just coming back, aren't they? They're coming back into the team. And I enjoy it, but I do think you're taking a big risk talking so confidently ahead of another game. So With that said, I'm going to go to predictions. Ashley, I think you might be predicting a win here. What are we saying?
Yeah, I am. I am going to predict a win. I'm not going to go all out. I'm gonna stick with another 1-0. I think that we'll get a scrappy 1-0 win, and that might be the new norm for Peterborough United. But if it's 1-0 every week, I may come on here and be bored out of my brain. But that's what we need at the moment, isn't it? So that wouldn't be the worst thing to happen. 1-0. Sam Hughes will get a goal.
I'm going 0-0. The worst game of football you will ever watch. All of a sudden, I feel like we can defend, we can't attack. It's like the flip reverse of the early part of the season. I just think it's gonna be a painful watch. I don't think they're great. I don't think we're great. I can see us just canceling each other out. But that would be another point closer to safety.
I am also going for a draw. Very boring, I know. I think we will concede first, and I think we'll show some spark and character and be good value for a 1-1 that maybe we'll think we could have won. But I can't imagine. I mean, that would be 3 clean sheets in 5 games, right? If we got a clean sheet against Bristol Rovers. I can't quite see it just yet for this team.
Yeah, I do think we'll win. I do think we'll concede because, yeah, I think Harry's right about 3 clean sheets in 5 being a little bit OTT. But I have just called Bristol Rovers the worst team in football history, so I have to stick by it and say that we'll win 3-1 at the Memorial Ground. I think it's going to be very toxic there. So, yeah, 3-1 Posh. I'll go for Malik Mothersill to score. I'll say Gustav will get his League One goal. And we'll go for an own goal from one of their donkeys at the back.
4-0 Posh win.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, we are very glad to be recording after a win. Please keep it up, Peterborough United. Let's get to that mid-table sanctuary. Up the Poshcast.
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 Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Fuck Test Tickle and his fucking cartwheels.